It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, Editor-at-Large at Search ERP with my colleague Brian McKenna, Business Applications Editor at Computer Weekly. Hello, Brian.
Hi, David.
In this installment, we'll discuss the cloud ERP offerings and strategies of several ERP vendors and take a stab at assessing who might be leading the migration from on-premises to the cloud. We'll also hear from some of the vendors themselves about how they see the competitive picture. Brian, we're doing this podcast, recording it with the benefit of having heard SAP's earnings call as of yesterday, something you did some reporting on. What were some of the cloud numbers that were in there?
Well, I think the big picture eye-catching thing is that the results were due on Monday, and on Sunday, quite late on Sunday, they announced that they were spinning out Qualtrics, which is a cloud property. So this is relevant to the cloud discussion. This was it's an online survey company, both for employees and for customers, which SAP bought in 2018. They bought this company for $8 billion. And in the results, they gave the revenue number for the first quarter from Qualtrics. It was 168 million euros. Mm-hmm. So doing a kind of quick back of an envelope type calculation, if we say, for the sake of argument, multiply that by four to give you an annual revenue, that's about 680 million euros. Mm-hmm. But that's still, you still have to multiply that number by 12 to get to 8 billion. Mm-hmm. It does seem, it was the last acquisition that Bill McDermott made. He was quite keen on acquisitions, was Bill, wasn't he?
He was.
Especially on the cloud front. There was SuccessFactors, Ariba, you'll have to help me out here. There's Fieldglass,
Concur. Concur.
Did I miss anyone out?
Hybris, I think, which got rolled into the C4HANA product.
Hybris. They did. Mm. Yeah, theirs was their partly cloud, but they're more of a hybrid type entity, I think. SuccessFactors, you know, was one of the kind of original cloud HR vendors, if I remember correctly. I mean, I know you know more about that space than I do. But his final acquisition was Qualtrics. Mm-hmm. And now they are kind of divesting themselves of it, I think. Is that fair to say that they're...
I feel like that's the underlying reality. They were putting, I felt, a nice spin on it, spin that has some credibility in the sense that they will still be the largest, I guess you could call them institutional owner or non-individual owner of the shares still, and still continue to sell Qualtrics, which is a benefit to certainly to Qualtrics, but also I guess SAP. Qualtrics is a major aspect of the employee experience effort going on as SuccessFactors, we've been told. But I find this especially relevant, as you say, the Qualtrics initial public offering and partial divesting, because the cloud properties, the purchase cloud, SaaS cloud properties of the last, you know, 5-8 years are a major part of the SAP cloud story and the cloud ERP story, since these products integrate to some degree with S/4HANA, with ECC, maybe yes, ECC not so much, but so to have had this very high profile acquisition in a very hot area of customer experience, employee experience, and then to get out of it, does seem a bit of a move away from what SAP had been presenting as one of its main strengths in cloud ERP.
I mean, I was struck. I mean, one piece of evidence that SAP customers weren't particularly bothered about Qualtrics, if I go back to the SAP UK and Ireland user group conference at the end of last year, 2019, there, usual annual kind of survey of their members indicated that actually, many of them had never even heard of Qualtrics. Mm-hmm. It was unknown to 43% of their customers. Now, I don't want to kind of go through that too quickly, because the announcement of the acquisition of Qualtrics was made at the same time as that conference the year before. So despite the fact that a bit of a hullabaloo was made at that time, I mean, they didn't buy Qualtrics to announce it at that user conference, but it was at the same time. But even though they were talking about it from the stage and stuff back in 2018, by 2019, a year later, it was still unknown to 43% of the customers, and only 6% of the members. We're talking about 467 user saw it as of any potential business benefit to them. Now, we're quite used to this from SAP, that it will do something that, and it will make a great play of it, usually at the Sapphire conference. And then for me, one of the kind of sanity points comes towards the end of the year, where it seems like the users have never, or very few of them, or a minority of them, have heard of, say, Leonardo or C4HANA or da-da-da-da-da. It's gone on like that for years, but it was especially pronounced with respect to Qualtrics, I think. I think it was very bemusing for a lot of SAP customers.
Yes. One analysis we heard from one of the analysts when we covered the Qualtrics acquisition, can't remember who exactly, was that the audience or the buyer is different, in that the folks who are aware of experience technology and surveys, customer surveys and omnichannel and all that, tend to be, you know, for lack of a better word, a younger group, more marketing oriented, more, I think.
They're not really into ERP.
Right, and that the sort of classic ERP purchaser for SAP was a generally older person who's been at it longer and is more into the operational technology, the supply chain logistics, and that these were different cultures, significantly different cultures among the buyers. And then it did seem there was probably quite a bit of a cultural difference between the Qualtrics and SAP folks, the companies. So I guess I'm not surprised to see this. It is a bit of a bold move, not too long into Christian Klein's tenure as the sole CEO.
Well, it's his first major strategic decision, it seems to me, just as one of Bill McDermott's last big strategic moves was to acquire this business. And you can see why he did it. And the way that he presented it as being about experience data, X data, as opposed to operational data, O data, the X and the O, and bringing them together and synthesizing them and bringing together the SAP offering from the back office all the way to the customer, you know, kind of joining up the SAP offer. It made sense. But Christian Klein is maybe kind of imposing his mark a bit by taking this decision. Now, SAP will continue to be, I believe, is going to be the most significant institutional shareholder if the IPO is successful.
Yes, I mean, that has to be indicated. And Ryan Smith of Qualtrics would be the largest individual shareholder, one of the co-founders from the family that founded Qualtrics. Yeah.
But to answer your question, David, from the very beginning of the podcast, so cloud revenue was 2.04 billion euros, which is about 30% of the quarterly revenue overall, which was 6.7, kind of rounding. And cloud revenue was up by 20% on the same year ago quarter. So quite impressive numbers. But then we come on to, do we not cloud ERP as such, because the core thing for SAP is S4HANA, which is mostly in terms of customer adoption an on-premise beast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I happened to talk to Jürgen Lindner of Oracle this might be a good time to play some of that clip.
SAP's philosophy has been very much to keep the core stable, right? And acquire cloud entities, native SaaS corporations in human capital management, customer experience pieces, procurement pieces such as Ariba, Concur, and all those type of things to really accelerate a perceived time to value approach to customer. The problem is that the core was not fundamentally rewritten to be a native SaaS offering. And I do think that is something where Oracle has acted differently. Over a decade ago, they basically just said, okay, it will not suffice in the long term. And I think this is really how we need to see cloud as a long game, not as a short-term type of game. We feel that you need to have all of the core business processes ideally on the same data model so that data processes and business processes can be seamlessly executed on the same platform. So what we're seeing oftentimes right now is that the acquired entities that SAP did do not properly converse with mm-hmm. the core system. So I do think that is where the user group sentiment of SAP has just shown that integration between the acquired entities and the core product is just not where it should be.
So, of course, SAP feels a bit differently about that. Back in March, I talked to Sven Denikin, who gave a good explanation, I thought, of the feature richness of S/4HANA and how different customers choose between the SaaS and the on-premises version, and how actually S/4HANA does support a manufacturing supply chain and some of the more sophisticated operational functions.
There are many definitions in the world about cloud, so let me define so you understand what I'm talking about. I now want to refer to the software as a service, multi-tenant, automated innovation four times a year version. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying that is, some people take their on-prem and put it on the hyperscaler, which by the way is a good idea, but already call that a cloud. Mm-hmm. That's not the one I want to refer to, because then I'm with the first one, right? Because you still can get everything you want, you can customize, but you put it on a hyperscaler or someone who provides the infrastructure, partner, or SAP even itself. Now I'm referring, I want to refer to a SaaS version of ERP. Mm-hmm. And in that area, if you want the vendor to automatically push the updates, the innovations over the weekend, which we do, then you, of course, have a different way how you consume your ERP. You don't invest into the config. You don't invest into all that. You want the vendor to take that over. And the market has shown it's working in the CRM space. It's working in the HR space. We are doing that as well. But in ERP, I think I would not consider that a heavy manufacturing company can live with some of those other vendors who claim they have an entire ERP. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what we're doing with S4. We run manufacturing mission-critical ERPs in the cloud. And this does mean that the customer needs to accept standardization. There can't be seven different variants of asset accounting in retail in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You need to accept that there are two, three ways you're doing this. If not, you can't automate it. If you already accept there's seven variants, then you're back in customizing, which you don't want to have in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's often perceived that there's a lack of functionality. No, it's actually the standardization. But the beauty is what you get is an automated innovation cycle, which the vendor does for you. Mm-hmm. Let me pause here if that makes sense philosophically from how to differentiate both worlds.
Yeah, so I also interviewed Jürgen Lindner at the beginning of the year, and he said pretty much exactly that. So it's great that he maintains consistency across his interviews.
Uh-huh. That's called being on message.
Yes, indeed. There's maybe a few things that one could say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the case he makes is logically tight and compelling. And is it fair on SAP, I wonder? It's just that SAP's taken a different approach. So it's acquired these cloud properties, which are I don't know whether you can say they're best in class or not, but they're obviously pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like success factors is a, you know, is an important product. So yeah. It's
one of the leading SaaS products out there. Competes pretty heavily with Workday and is a major human capital management product, no doubt.
And then you've got all the others, you know, Ariba and Concur and Fieldglass and the others that we mentioned. And they are cloud properties. They've been part of SAP for a long time. They've been generating revenue for SAP and so on. So the fact that the S/4HANA is mostly on-premise in terms of customer adoption, mm-hmm. you know, there is still a cloud. You can still
And I do think there's something to the notion of the continuing the integration, which is something that Christian Klein said was a major priority of his when he became sole CEO. I think it was in his preview to the Sapphire conference earlier in the spring. We have the benefit of some numbers from Gartner. We were talking just a bit of about a month after Gartner released two magic quadrants on product-centric cloud ERP and then financial cloud ERP. And one thing that struck me and something I shared with you and some of our TechTarget colleagues was that on the product-centric cloud ERP magic quadrant, SAP S/4HANA did not even have a place. And Gartner's reasoning for that was that they estimate that 95% of live SAP S/4HANA customers, this is a direct quote, have adopted S/4HANA on-premises rather than other editions of S/4HANA Cloud. They estimate that SAP has achieved notable sales of approximately 600 for the S/4HANA Cloud multi-tenant edition, but it did not qualify for the number of live customers required to make the magic quadrant. So I found that interesting. Maybe SAP will make the quadrant next year.
About 600, did you say there, David?
Yeah, so 600 sales.
Yeah, sales. So in terms of the most recent numbers, S/4HANA was 500 new customers. And that always seems to be the run rate is about 400, 500, and has been for as long as I can remember. And I've been tracking this for since 2013 when they launched S/4HANA, at least notionally. So the total was 14,600, so altogether, and 7,400 of those are live. So 600 sales compared with 14,600 sales gives you a kind of decent idea of the, you know, the balance. It's clearly towards on-premise.
It is. It very much is. I do think that, as I mentioned, Sven Denikin of SAP does a good job, though, of explaining why the hybrid approach is what works for a good number of their customers, and that they think that quite a few of their competitors in the SaaS manufacturing and supply chain world aren't doing as well with that kind of longstanding customer who needs who has a large customized ERP system. So. You know, we're hearing a lot of input from a lot of different folks. Our colleague Jim O'Donnell is talking to Jan Gilg, also of SAP, in the S/4HANA effort. And we'll be asking him, or did ask him, about the uptake they're seeing for S/4HANA Cloud and how it compares to competitors like Oracle ERP Cloud, which seems to be the main competitor.
From my perspective, Oracle is really the main competitor because in terms of the breadth of what they offer.
Yeah.
We just saw the IDC MarketScape come out, and we've been pretty much head to head with them in the leader quadrant. I think from a capability perspective, it's going to be very close from my point of view. I don't know Oracle in detail, but from what I hear talking to customers and so on, I think it's very comparable. I think primarily if the install base is focusing on private cloud, so we don't see so much net new going into private cloud, to be honest. I think they're really, and that matches actually what we see from analysts, that the market is clearly going into a SaaS cloud,
And that's what we see when we talk to new customers and, you know, also some of the fast growing companies. I mean, they're all looking into fully SaaS ERP solutions. And then in our install base, yeah, there's quite some interest also on a private cloud, but they often also think about, you know, doing this maybe for a part of their business and take the opportunity, like I said earlier, then maybe take a portion already public, but remain with the core still in a private cloud. So there's definitely a lot of consideration, because at the end of the day, it's all about the business value. The pure technical conversion is often something, you know, that's not enough. And then companies are really looking, so where are low-hanging fruits, where can we leverage and capture value right away by doing this move, even though it might not be full move into SaaS.
Regarding the six sisters, it's a term that Holger Mueller at Constellation Research uses, and perhaps others do. And I saw a blog post of his from back in April when Klein became sole CEO of the company of SAP. And he said, the attention now for Christian Klein and Thomas Saueressig, one of the other senior executives who's in product development, it's all about getting the S/4HANA value proposition right, and the need to augment it with the capabilities of the six sisters. So delivering integration plans and having those integration plans ready and clear with Concur or Ariba.
Who are these sisters? Is this HANA and her sisters?
Oh, HANA and her sisters. When we first started going to Sapphire, we were determined to look for HANA, and eventually we found her. But I think it's Fieldglass. I don't know if I could answer the Jeopardy, come up with a Jeopardy answer here, but we've named most of them Fieldglass, Hybris, Concur, Ariba, SuccessFactors, and I'm short one. Oh, maybe Qualtrics? Yeah, Qualtrics, ironically.
That's a sister who kicked out of the house.
Yes, so this might be a good spot to talk about what Oracle is up to. The report from Gartner, the Magic Quadrant, two of them that came out, one for financial side of ERP and the other for product centric, you know, with supply chain and manufacturing and logistics. And they said that Oracle ERP Cloud has 7,000 live customers, and that the HCM cloud has 1,800 customers, also a very strong number. And I would note that on those Magic Quadrants, Oracle is the only major vendor, I think it actually is the only vendor that's very high up in the leader quadrant in both of those categories. So usually it's one or the other. As I mentioned, SAP is not even showing up in the product-centric cloud ERP. Again, we're talking cloud ERP specifically. And they certainly have been, Oracle has certainly been claiming wins against SAP. This is something that Larry Ellison, the CTO of Oracle, was highlighting, I think, a couple of earnings calls ago. And then Christian Klein, the CEO of SAP, was asked about that. And he said, I've asked my people at SAP and we can't really find evidence of this. So again, it's a little hard to discern what's going on. I also asked Jürgen Lindner about this and whether it was really a fair thing to say without citing the evidence, and he had an interesting response.
Larry wouldn't do those statements if there wasn't an element of truth to that. So what we're certainly seeing is a lot of interest in the SAP customer base to have an alternative path laid out. We're working with those customers. Some of those progressing faster, some of them are progressing slower, but we certainly see an openness from SAP customers like we've never seen it before. To your point, however, I do think SAP has right now relaxed some of the drivers, right? Like for example, that's extending the deadline and all those type of things, which always was a little bit of an artificial deadline anyways. But from that perspective, I mean, customers have now the possibility to really contrast and compare. And we're engaging with a lot of those accounts. And once again, these are not overnight shifts, right? We need to realize that as well. I mean, those are decades of costs, investments, skill sets, right? So doing tectonic shift come easy, but are we having those conversations? Absolutely, David, yes.
So we didn't mention any major customer wins.
No, I was still having a bit of difficulty coming up with the names.
So they're claiming these things, but not actually mentioning customers by name at the moment. So
that's... yeah, and yet, right, they're sort of making these big claims, and it can be very hard to tell what's real. Larry Ellison actually said last time that they're getting a lot of cloud application wins. The quote was, "We've taken a huge lead in the cloud ERP market because our largest competitor, SAP, never rewrote their ERP applications for the cloud." That seems to be the standard criticism coming from Oracle against SAP. And yet SAP certainly has its defense against that.
I think the consensus is that from talking to various other CEOs, and we can maybe chat a little bit about IFS's CEO, with whom I had a conversation recently.
Yep.
It's a fairly common point, and it's the point that Jürgen made as well, is that the thing about moving from ECC6 as an SAP customer to S/4HANA with a public cloud or private cloud or on-premise, doesn't matter really, is it's essentially a re-implementation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an upgrade. It's a completely new, because you're rebuilding on HANA. It's like a heart and brain transplant. I mean, it's a big deal. And because it's a big deal, SAP customers who are debating whether to make the shift or not make the shift are obviously going to look at other options, and Oracle's going to be one of those options, but there are other options.
So your conversation was with Darren Roos, the CEO of IFS, based in Sweden, heavy presence in manufacturing and supply chain and distribution ERP. One reason I love talking to Darren, and I suspect you do too, along with a number of these folks, such as Jürgen Lindner, is that they have worked at both companies. Now, sometimes it goes back in time, but it wasn't too many years ago that Darren Roos is very senior in the cloud effort at SAP, and now is competing with them as CEO of IFS. This might be a good spot to listen to that excerpt.
So we did a survey with IDC, and what we found from that survey is that nearly 50% of SAP ECC customers have no intention of going to S4. And, you know, that 50%, not all of them are clearly looking at IFS.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that we are one of the big three beneficiaries of that decision-making process. So, you know, and we see that. And we've won a large number of customers over the last 12 months. And frankly, that's unsurprising. You know, at the end of the day, whenever any vendor, this is not a ding on SAP, whenever any vendor says to a customer, you have to do a re-implementation in order to move forward, and the skill set that you require on the other end of that implementation is fundamentally different. In other words, you had Oracle database, now you're going to have to run HANA, and it's going to require you to have the skills to run that, that a proportion of those customers are just going to say, look, this is not for me. I'm going to evaluate other options.
50% sounds like a lot. It really does. I mean, I've seen 20%, for example.
Yeah, I was surprised. They shared the data with me yesterday. I was pretty surprised.
So in that interchange, the 20% I was referring to was, again, going back to the SAP UK and Ireland User Group conference towards the end of last year. That was the number there, was 20% of those... of the respondents to that survey said they were not going to look at, they weren't going to move to S/4HANA from ECC6. They just weren't going to do it. So that's where that, you know, that 20% came from. And actually, the year before it had been 14%. So there was an increase in the number of customers who seemed to be just deciding to eschew completely S/4HANA. So that's where that comes from. It is good to catch up with Darren. He did work at SAP in a number of very senior roles, and this role at IFS, where he's the CEO, was his first CEO gig, and he's enjoying it immensely. He's made a number of very big strategic changes, which he assures me has bred greater and greater success at IFS. And yeah, it was good catching up with him. He said that he was almost surprised by the degree of interest in cloud this year, the COVID year. He was surprised that business had gone so well during the COVID year. Well, the COVID year may not be over yet, but these COVID times, he thought it would be catastrophically bad. And it's actually turned out to be pretty good for IFS. And there was an acceleration in interest in cloud delivery. And he also always says to me, he does, in a sense, he doesn't really care whether it's cloud or on-premise, but you know, it's always really comes down to customer choice.
It does. It's always interesting to talk to Darren Roos. He's very passionate about IFS. I guess it's worth remembering that it is a relatively small vendor in comparison to the customer size and the tens of billions in revenue that we see at SAP and Oracle. According to the Gartner Magic Quadrant for product-centric ERP, the IFS Applications 10 suite, which is their main, it's their cloud product, has 150 customers. And that's Gartner. They did seem to do some pretty good surveying, but we are relying on Gartner's numbers for that. Enterprise asset management being a big strength of that company.
Yeah, they're about $700 million or so in revenue.
Yeah.
I think Darren said that's, well, I shouldn't attribute that to him absolutely directly, but it's in that kind of ballpark.
Yeah. You know. Now, another vendor that is often for total revenue, we must include on-premises in the mix, along with Microsoft, which we haven't talked about, and they have Dynamics 365. Infor. A whole other thing. We'll have to talk about them, devote an entire podcast if we can get the Microsoft folks to talk about it. So Infor, I think sort of famously the inheritor and the acquirer of many, many, perhaps dozens of legacy on-premises platforms, vendors such as Bon.
Yeah, it's the home of old ERPs, isn't it?
Yes, a good chunk of the ERP graveyard, which is a great online reference to the different acquisitions and the old brands that have been retired. A good chunk of the ERP graveyard has Infor on it, but also a lot of Oracle, we must say, too. I think probably the second biggest number of acquisitions is by Oracle. Gartner, in their Magic Quadrant, gave Infor kudos for a strong technology vision of their core ERP, cloud ERP, and they have this industry vertical strategy, which seemed like taking their lemons and turning it into lemonade, as they say. They inherited a lot of very vertical ERP platforms that were often specialized in industries such as food and beverage distribution. And they have a kind of an architecture, like an object-oriented architecture, that allows the core ERP to be common, and then to spin off these more specialized applications for the different industries. Something that Infor is very proud of, and has really been the main part of their strategy in the cloud for something like 4 or 5 years. Interesting to note, though, that SAP at Sapphire this past June announced an industry vertical effort also. There weren't a lot of specifics, but they talked about beefing up their efforts to service, I think it's 25 main industries that they already serve. And I think this is largely cloud, you know, this would be cloud products for vertical industries. So they're certainly not leaving that to Infor by any means. Another player always in the mix is Workday. Historically, they've been they were one of the first important software as a service vendors. Haven't really called themselves ERP until recently, and they don't regularly call themselves ERP. I think it was guilt by association or something. They were initially a human capital management purchase for many people. One of the best places to get software as a service HR support. And as a spinoff to the former PeopleSoft product that was acquired by Oracle, their two founders came from PeopleSoft, which is, you know, a very HCM-centric ERP system, very popular in the public sector. So Gartner says that Workday has about 1,800 live HCM customers, which is pretty substantial. And what's made Workday more like ERP and more competing in that market is they've done some serious beefing up for, it seems like it's been about 5 years now, of the financial management side. They call that module Workday Financial Management. A very plain name there, but descriptive. And they've added Workday Adaptive Planning, which was from the acquisition of a company called Adaptive Planning, one of the biggest financial analytics vendors. Also SaaS-based, and are getting, claiming a lot of new business from people who are buying them for the financials. And in their last analyst day, which is actually last fall, 2019, they said that they have a few really large customers. They've struggled a bit to get really large customers, but they are moving up market with the financial side of the Workday suite. And they are claiming some, about 40 customers who have $5 billion or more in revenue, including companies like Netflix, Unum, Ryder, and Spectrum Health. So Workday is always in the mix as a competitor in the cloud ERP space.
And is it more impressive than Infor, would you say? I don't really know Workday terribly well.
I think in terms of execution, in terms of like sort of being laser focused on their initial focus, which was HCM, and then adding the next logical thing, because people want to relate financials to HR, but also want to have the accounting and planning aspects of financials. I think they proved, you know, they started as a SaaS company, and that's what they still are. So they were, I think they proved the market more than Infor did, which had to come to it with Cloud Suite several years ago. And I think it's still a work in progress for Infor. Infor decided, and seemed like a very savvy move, to outsource that to one of the hyperscalers. There's the term hyperscaler.
From the very beginning, yeah, they were AWS from the start.
Yes, and that it struck me as a non-technical person, but an observer of this market, to be a very smart move to focus on your strengths, which is something that SAP has been saying that, you know, that's been something they've tried to do the last couple of years too.
Because and IFS is Microsoft Azure.
Yes.
Quite a close relationship to Microsoft in that respect.
Yeah.
Also built on the Oracle database. So, I mean, all this kind of joins together. Mm-hmm. But Oracle's big claim to fame is, because we're talking about cloud ERP, right? I mean, clouds for Oracle, a big part of their value proposition is they do the whole thing. They do platform as a service, infrastructure as a service. Whereas SAP is working with the hyperscalers, isn't it?
It is. It seems as if, and having a broad selection or broad choice, and outsourcing that to the hyperscalers and getting out of that business, getting out of HANA Enterprise Cloud. We haven't talked much about Salesforce. They're always in the mix too. And when I was preparing for this part of the discussion, I wasn't quite sure what to say about Salesforce. And then it dawned on me that the real story there is that they've been eating the lunch of most of these vendors on the CRM side.
Yes, they absolutely have. And Well, Salesforce is more of an enterprise company now in many ways, because it's, first of all, I mean, its revenue is quite impressive. It's about $20 billion is the, which isn't comparable to SAP, right? Mm-hmm. And because of its big acquisitions of MuleSoft, mm-hmm. especially kind of on the integration front, the API front, and also Tableau on the business intelligence data visualization side of things, it is filling out. It's more than just the CRM vendor.
Yeah, it's like it's putting out tentacles into more of the world of these ERP vendors, and it has these partnerships or at least integrations, because they often need to provide Salesforce connectivity for their customers. So Salesforce is in a pretty strong position, but not really directly going after ERP, and mostly staying in its lane, but as you say, adding these integration capabilities and business intelligence, which is also something that the ERP vendors are into. And you look at the effort of SAP to restart its CRM effort with C4HANA, which I think has been a little bit muddled the last year or so. It certainly hasn't been as front and center as it was a Sapphire or two ago. It shows that the many of these vendors, most of whom do have CRM as part of their overall suite offering, are having to concede that to Salesforce. And CRM is, you know, a major part of the ERP ecosystem, as it were. So Brian, go ahead.
The subtitle that we were thinking of this particular episode as being the Cloud Wars. Who's winning the cloud wars?
Yes.
If we were to say who is, who would that be?
I was going to say that probably Oracle is, if we were to say there's a hot war and a cold war, it seems like the hot war is being won still by Oracle, because it seems like the Oracle ERP cloud, the Fusion-based applications are more complete. And there's reason to believe the total sales are higher than what SAP is doing. Is that your sense of it too, or would you say something?
In terms of sheer brute dollars, then Oracle is bound to be the winner.
And, yeah.
And also it was very much the winner from that Gartner Magic Quadrant that we referred to earlier, was it not?
Yeah, it was. Well, this is a good place to wrap up. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Brian.
My pleasure.